So good morning. Thanks for coming here to worship the Lord this morning. And especially all of you physical coming here, you're braving the virus. And I just heard that even yesterday or even today is the highest. So we thank God. We understand for those who are worshiping online, you know, for your safety, especially those who are, you know, 60 and above. We truly ask God to protect us. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, indeed, we want to thank you this morning as you bring your people here to worship you physically, and also for those who are on worshiping you, Lord, online. We pray for your protection to be upon each and every one of us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you keep us from the virus, give us help, give us long life so that we can worship you with the rest of our lives. We commit the rest of the time to you. We pray, Lord, that you and you alone will speak to us. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The topic this morning given is the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. Let us read through that. If you have brought your Bible, that'd be good, you know. I always encourage you to bring your Bible. You know, some commentator says maybe, you know, with our iPad and all that, we will slowly not use our Bible anymore. I was told Pastor John Cobb from Cal Baptist Church, he discouraged people using the iPad or the iPhone. You must bring your physical Bible, you know, so that actually you can underline it, you can make a mark on it. So I'm not sure whether you all can read that or not. Probably it's too small. So if you have a Bible, you know, read it. And you do not have, you can't see, never mind, you will listen to me as I read all the 13 verses to you. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers of the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, indeed, we want to thank you again for this morning, bringing us here to worship you. Even as you look to this message, the revelation of the mystery, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. And through this mystery, we can come together as one body to worship you. No matter what race, what color we are, Lord, we are your children. We commit the rest of the time to you, for we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I first look at the revelation of the mystery, it brings back, you know, memories of when I was in school, you know, the famous five and the secret seven, you know, Enid Blyton, you know, who wrote many books when I was in Form 3. The English teacher, I remember, encouraged us to read her books. And all those years, I've been reading her books and, you know, I grew to it. Yesterday, I did a Google search and this lady has wrote more than 1,000 books. You know, I'm not sure whether people are still reading it now. But during those days, you know, we truly so immersed in this famous five and secret seven. Now, the revelation of God's mystery. The word mystery appears four times. If you have your Bible, you know, you can, that's why I say if you bring your Bible, you can circle it, or when you go home, circle it. It appears four times in this message. In fact, apart from these four times in these 13 verses, it first appeared in chapter 1, verse 9. That was the first appearance in chapter 1, verse 9. It talks about the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. So the word, this word mystery appears in verse 3, verse 6, and verse 9. But in verse 4, it talks about the mystery of Christ. Different, huh? If you look at your Bible, you will see the other, you know, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, is just mentioned the mystery. That's what we're going to reveal to us, the mystery afterwards. But in verse 4, it talks about the mystery of Christ. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's a successor of the famous Campbell Morgan at Westminster Chapel from 1943 to 1968, 25 years, died at the age of 81. And he wrote one of these commentaries. He wrote an 8-volume commentary on the book of Ephesians. And he says, you know, this mystery of Christ is different from the other three verses. And so he called this the general mystery. The mystery of Christ, his term is at the general mystery. In short, you know, Martin says, the mystery of Christ is the whole message of the gospel. The whole message of the gospel, or the whole truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For in reality, he is the gospel. Christ and Christ alone, no other. And that's why someone had called Paul, you know, was a Christ-intoxicated man. Paul says, you know, to me, to live is Christ. Christ is the beginning, the end, the center, the soul, everything in Paul's message. There was everything he talked about, Christ. And nowhere, no one else, nowhere else. And that is the general mystery, you know, that Martin says. And but then in verse 3, 6, and 8, he called that the particular mystery. Two mysteries, yeah? Particular. We are not going to talk too much on the, you know, general mystery, because, you know, it's a long thing. But today we want to concentrate on this particular mystery. And he tells us what this particular mystery is in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. We just dealt with that. Which was not made known to men in other generations. And it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6 is what he's talking about. What is this mystery about? This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Look at the verse again, you know, if you have a Bible, it talks about what? The Gentiles, which is the non-Jews, which is you and I. First, we are what? We are heirs together with Israel. Secondly, we are members together of one body, and we are the sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Three together. Look at it again. We are heirs, the Gentiles are heirs because of the gospel. We are heirs together with Israel. We are members together of one body, and we are the sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. In another version, it talks about we are fellow sharers in the inheritance. We are fellow members of the body. We are fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul makes it very clear here that the unveiled secret, the mystery we are talking about, is not just an alliance of the Jews and the Gentiles, or perhaps even a friendly agreement, you know, to live together in peace. You know, the Jews are always, you know, they don't like the Gentiles, or even an outcome combination of partnership, not an agreement, not an alliance, you know, not a combination or a partnership, but on the contrary, he says this is a complete and permanent fusion. It's a fusion, all in one. A perfect spiritual union through the gospel, the church of Christ. You see, in the house, in the church, in the house of God, there are no borders. You know? All are children of our Heavenly Father. We, the Gentiles, are to be heirs together with the Israelites, members together, sharers together. Now, of course, this mystery has already been made known as early as in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. You know, when he called Abraham, he says that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He already mentioned that, you know. And then, of course, again in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, 26, verse 4, 28, 14, also in Psalms, also in Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, Malachi, and many others. Well, of course, this is not a theological class. We don't go into that. In fact, now with Google, you can Google and find out more of that, you know. But what these prophets, you know, did not make clear about this mystery is that in connection with the coming of the Messiah, in the coming of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the old theocracy would be completely abolished, and in its place would arise a new organism, the church, in which the Gentiles and the Jews would be placed on equal footing, perfect equality. We Chinese say ping hei ping chou, not that you're higher than me, that ping hei ping chou. You know, that's what William Hendrickson says. Like in a marriage, when I perform in a marriage, I always say, you know, now the two of you will become one. No more you or I, no more mine or yours, is ours. Together, you know, it is we and ours. Now, even the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, even in the early church, you know, it took them a while to get that. It took them a while to get that, remember? But Jesus already told them in the Great Commission, isn't it? He says, in the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing all nations. Disciples of all nations, not just the Jews. Why did Jesus tell them? But it didn't get into their head. You know, maybe apart from us, all nations. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, he says there, you wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, go and be witnesses to me, what, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. Ends of the world is exactly all nations, everybody. And in fact, in Acts, you know, chapter 8, we went through that last year, remember? Peter and John, you know, gave the Holy Spirit to the Samaritans to confirm, you know, that they are also God's children. And in chapter 10, Acts, Cornelius, remember, you know, he was praying and then say, you know, go. God say in a vision, go and send this Peter. But God have to through a vision to tell Peter, you need to go. I mean, he already told them in the Great Commission, already in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But God has to affirm through Peter, you know. He saw all those reptiles, all those things, you know, coming down, and he said, and God said, kill and eat, you know, I'm a Jew, I don't eat all those things, you know. God says, you know, don't call something unclean that I have made pure. And because of the vision, you know, Peter and John, you know, they went, and Cornelius, a Gentile, obviously, you know, came to know the Lord. And then only he said, you know, truly, Peter said, you know, the gospel, salvation has been given not only to the Jews, but to the other people too. You see, the Jews have always been very proud of themselves, you know, and they are the chosen people, the elect, the chosen race, no others. You know, we are gods, you know, this creator God, you know, chose us. So we are special people. They even look down on the Samaritans who were half Jews. They married, you know, with some other, and they became half Jews, mixed blood, not pure. So they, you know, they all the Samaritans. But strangely, I mean, a little bit diversion. You remember Jesus twice. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? You know, when this expert in law asked, you know, how can we, you know, well, how do we have eternal life? He said, love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, and all your, and your neighbor as yourself. What did he say? And who's my neighbor? And so Jesus told about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm not sure whether you realize that. When he told about the Good Samaritan, he says that, you know, this guy was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was robbed. And then he said, a priest came by. When he saw the wounded man, he walked the other side. Priest, obviously a Jew. And then a Levite came by. And also he was on the other side. And who came? A Samaritan came and took care of him, put him in a hotel, you know, and all. And then Jesus asked, who is my neighbor? Go and notice what this expert in law said. He didn't say the Samaritan. He says the one who had mercy on him. He didn't want to use the word Samaritan. The one who had mercy on him. Who was the one? Jesus says he's a good Samaritan. A Samaritan came by. You see how they appall, you know, the Samaritans. And also the other one in John chapter 4, the Samaritan, the lady, you know, the woman at the well. Jesus asked for a drink. What did the woman say? He said, how come you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan lady, for a drink? For her, total surprise. You know, the Jews don't even speak to a Samaritan man, let alone a woman, for them a woman, you know, very low class. But you see, the Jews are so proud of their race, you know, of themselves. And because of that, wherever they go, you know, they will try to find the Jews. You know, of course, you know, the Bible tells us because of their disobedience, the Jews have been spread all over the world. And so you can find Jews, you know, like in every country in the world. Last night I was trying to find out, which country has the most Jews in this world. Google, Mr. Google didn't answer me. You know, didn't come. Maybe some of you would know that, you know. And so they want to find their own kind. Nothing wrong with that. We Chinese will say, we are also descendants of the dragon. Wow, so proud of us. Of course, now with China coming out, we even say more of that. We are Long Dick Chin Yan. Nothing wrong with that, you know. So one time, a group of American Jews who were having a holiday, you know, in probably, of course, before the pandemic, they went to India, you know. And after their food, they called the waiter, come and say, he said, do you have any Indian juice? You know? So this guy said, sir, I'm new here. I go and ask my manager. And so after a while, he came back. He said, sir, my manager said no Indian juice. But we have orange juice and apple juice and tomato juice, you know. Maybe in Malaysia, we can add, we also have our durian juice, our Mao San Wong juice, is the best in the world, you know. So they are so proud, they went anywhere they go, they will try to find, you know, their own kind. Now, so Paul here is telling the Ephesians that we who are Gentiles, if you have your Bible, that's why I say bring your Bible, you know, you look at chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, what does he say? I mean, I think Pastor Mark has dealt with that already. Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Of course, now this is the famous verse I always use in a week service. He says, sir, for this is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not yourself. It is the gift of God, not the works, so that no one can boast. And then you go to verse 11 to 13, one in Christ. He says, therefore, remember that formerly. Now, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, I'm sure Pastor Mark has dealt with that. The Ephesians are all Gentiles, all non-Jews. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of man. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. You see how he described that? Remember that. You know, formerly you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ. Wow, is it here? But what's the name? But now in Christ Jesus, you are ones who were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You know, and verse 19 to verse 22, consequently, you are no longer foreigners, no longer aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and the members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, Christ, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the land. And in him, Christ, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, you see, here he tells them. So the full salvation is the portion of Christ Jesus. Because of him, because of his death, you know, because of him coming here to die for us on the cross, you are part of him. You are now you were no sharers of the inheritance, but now, you know, you are sharers. You know, you are partakers. Yeah, and you have the inheritance. You know, you have the realization of the promise. But now through Christ, you have become one elect race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people of God's own possession. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, we together, we are no more race, no more color, no more nationality, no more rich or poor, no more whether clever or not so clever, educated or uneducated. We are all one big family in Christ. Of course, don't only say it, you know, don't only believe it, and more important, live it out, act it out in our lives, you know, live it out in our lives, you know. And that's the reason, you know, this telling us that now he is telling that these people, they, if you're not a Jew, you will not be thinking that we are not the chosen race, you know. That's why Paul here is telling them, yes, formerly you are like that, but remember, because of Christ, you know, breaking the curtain, because of Christ dying for you, we are all one body in the church. I sad to say, you know, Western countries, US, you see how, you know, for years, the blacks were not allowed, you know, to worship together with the whites. Never read this message, are they? You know, why? Even today, you know, the Asians are now bullied and taught. Supposed to be a Christian country, you know. And even here, you know, remember James was telling, not only in there, even in James' time, James chapter 2, you know, he says, don't pay favoritism. When the rich guy comes, you know, with you can sit here. The poor, you sit there. Even in Jesus' time, even in James' time, there's a favoritism. Sometimes people are a lower class. No, he says, don't. You know, in Christ, we are all equal. I wonder about this church. You know, let us not only to listen to it, really to live it out. I remember one time, you know, in the Straits Baptist Church where, you know, Joyce and myself came from. We have an English and a Chinese congregation. In a Chinese congregation, there was this brother, you know, always come, you know. And then after survey, after I greeted him, he will walk by, you know, ours was a two-story shop lot. Then he will walk by the small lane and he will, you know, go to behind there. I was curious, you know, I would look then, couldn't see him, you know, he went by the other side. But one time I said, how do you come? He said, Pastor, I came on a motorbike. I dare not park my motorbike here because I see all of you coming with big cars. Straits Baptist Church, you know, when I first went there, we have 13 specialist doctors, you know. And after that, we have, you know, we have makan. Some of the doctors bring two mates to help to clean up, you know, with that, you know. So they say, I'm only just working with a motorbike. They're not park my motorbike in front of them. You see how? I mean, did we give them the picture that we will look down on a guy with a motorbike? I'm not sure whether anybody come motorbike here. I'm not seeing any motorbike in Pantai Baptist, you know. Do we look down on a person like that? Let us ask ourselves, do we look down on a person who's less educated, not a professional? Let not be, you know. Let us answer that ourselves. But we thank God, we have the Mercy Fund, you know. We have ministries to reach out to people who are you know, having difficulties. Last Christmas, we reached out to people, you know, who are having it difficult, you know, some lost their job, some lost their income. We thank God for that. You know, a church must be that. You know. Let us look, you know, finally on Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. 25 verse 34 to verse 40. He talks about the sheep and the goat. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous answered him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Six things: hungry, thirsty, naked, no clothes, sick, in prison. We thank God many churches are reaching out to this group of people who have nothing to eat, you know, who in dire need, some of these all physical needs. Some even care, especially in this pandemic time. Just a visit, just a phone call. We don't live by ourselves. You know, our theme this year is what? Live the life. Don't have it just on paper, live the life. Really, live it out. And we thank God we have people like that, and encourage more of us to do that. We are all one God's family, no matter where we are, what station of life we are in. And the higher you are in, the more, you know, your scope is, the more people you can reach out to. So help us even this morning as we come together. The mystery of Christ, simply put, is there's no more boundaries. He told the Jews, told the Gentiles, no more you and I. We are all one family in the house of God. And let us really live that out in our lives, in our church. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you because of your sacrifice for us. Because of you dying on the cross, we can be one people under you. We can be one nation, a royal priesthood, an elect race, holy nation, people of God's own possession. We thank you for bringing us all together. But so sad, Lord, there are some Christians who are not acting that out, who may not even understand this. We pray, Lord, that you will help our church to truly live that out first in our lives, especially as pastors, elders, and leaders of the church. Let us live by example, truly to care for those who are being neglected, maybe not purposely, Lord, but let us search among our church anybody that needs us for prayer or help, or even the outside world, our neighbors. They need us, Lord. Help us to be that good Samaritan to reach out to your people. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen, Lord.